Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Keith Braveheart has seen the effects of COVID-19 as an artist and also through the eyes of his art students at Oglala Lakota College. Braveheart is well known for working with young Native American artists at USD's annual Oscar House Summer Art Institute. Over the past few months, he's had to make adjustments to online education as a way to help his students succeed. He's also felt the disappointment of having art shows and exhibitions canceled or postponed. But we are glad that we can spend a few minutes with him this morning. Keith, welcome back to In the Moment. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to return.
This is such an interesting time to be alive, which might be an understatement, and I'm wondering if it is informing your art and the art of your students as people sort of see the world in new ways and deal with their own isolation. What are you seeing about how it's informing artists in their process in general?
I think that it is indeed a very critical time. And I think a lot of us are engaged with the world more so through technologies, and that's something that's been there, but I think now it's something where it's just another sense of seeing the world and feeling the world. But I think that for artists and for people who are creative, I think that it's really a time to reflect on those critical viewpoints and those moments that could be critical that really lead to some sort of action in the long run. I think that people are very inspired just by, what's going on in the world. You know, maybe I think before these social distancing kind of attributes and things that we are very much necessity now, they were more so as like maybe entertainment. Are just things that were for simple distraction. Whereas now I think people are looking further and finding these really authentic reflections of the world that they exist within. And for, again, creative artists, that's content. And that's going to lead to some sort of more, I think, uplifted artwork, very, very strong expressions. But it's not also limited to just only creatives or artists. I think that just people in general, communities, they're also finding creativity as an outlet to kind of balance out all of this reception to the world that's happening around them, especially through these heightened technologies.
I think it's children's illustrator Mo Willems who said, "The scientists will get us out of this, but it's the artists who will get us through this." And I think that speaks to, you know, your thoughts there on, in some ways, all of us have discovered our own artistic expression. And that's very much part of what you teach in a lot of ways, not only to teach students to become professional artists, but to just teach cultural expression and self-expression and exploration. It's not just that there are some people who are artists and the rest of us aren't, right?
I believe so. I feel like that's a philosophy that I really hold dear, is that art can mean so many different things. And when you allow conversation to develop, you can make time to listen to others. And maybe encourage through that listening, and then maybe start to kind of build words that can start to enhance that encouragement so that others may start to look at the world differently and really start to challenge their perceptions or assumptions of what is art. And I mean, there is a field of art, there is a context of art history, and there's different spheres within art, but I think that expression is something that's just natural to every person. You know, we're all born with this urgency to be expressive. When we're little kids, we pick up something to make a mark with, or we start banging on pots and start singing, things like that. It's not until much later on in life where we kind of get a little bit more broken from that natural way of just being a person. And I think that we can return to that later. And I think people still hold on to these different kind of outlets that are very creative and very positive and very, I think, expressive, but we just maybe not making time to have a really critical moment to see, is this art, you know? And in a way, it's really about humanities. You know, you're making time to look at other perspectives and really try to welcome others into your space and into your life, I guess.
Yeah. You help students at Oglala Lakota College, at the Oscar House Summer Art Institute at USD, at Racing Magpie, at other, you know, workshops and community events. Do you see people come up against those obstacles of confidence or doubt or technique or skill? Or what are some of the obstacles you see people face, young artists that you're working with as a guide or a mentor or a teacher? And how do you help them get past them?
Yeah, thank you for bringing up all of those organizations, and they're very great relatives to work with. I do have a lot of appreciation for USD and the Oscar House Summer Art Institute, which has its legacy there, plus my new institute of the Oglala Lakota College, but also Racing Magpie, who are doing just great work out here in our western South Dakota area. But when I work with anybody, but primarily when I'm working with youth, I feel like it's really about making time to just encourage. And I think that as artists, we're more so trained in observational skills. We have really kind of honed in on seeing something or even looking beyond the normal, the overlooked, even listening. We are trained in active listening, where we can listen to something and we can find a muse within it. And I think that when we apply that to individuals and to our students, you know, our community, we really start to see that there's a lot more out there. And I think that that's something that's really exciting for me as an artist at this point in my career, because I love the unpredictability of that. I love to see what might happen and also be challenged by what I didn't expect. And really, I think just embrace that there's so much diversity when we start to open up this conversation about what can art be and how is it so unique to our, you know, our communities, you know, our relatives, our homelands. All of that stuff brings so much unique beauty, and that can't be recreated. And I think that that's what stands out within our region of the Northern Plains. But to me, it just always comes back to just making time to remember that I appreciate art. I see myself as somebody who appreciates viewing art first before making it. So if that lets me kind of distance myself from my ego of being an artist, that's great, because I can make time to sit there and appreciate a young artist who's up and coming, or somebody who might not have the courage yet to call themselves an artist in their first attempt, and then just really try to help build that self-esteem, confidence that they can go further beyond, or maybe start to open up their possibilities to engage with more critical type of conversations or opportunities.
I think that's huge. Just going back to that that love of art, that appreciation of art, and expanding how you think about it. That's wise advice that anybody can put in their pocket if they're feeling frustrated or stuck. It's a difficult time to market and sell art, to collect art. There's just the shows that we normally have that we look forward to, the travel for those shows, many are canceled or postponed. Is the Red Cloud show going forward in June in Pine Ridge, though?
Yes, it is. And I believe that may be one of the only, if not the only, show that I'm aware of that is still moving forward. And I know that they've adjusted their platform, and it's going to be really more safe social distancing protocols. But I know that I've took my work over there, and I thought of it as really a good opportunity to further that encouragement. You really want to support the arts now, and I think in this particular time, more so than maybe in the past. And then really kind of, for me, I believe getting past beyond just only the market aspect of it to really just say that, you know, here's what I can contribute. And I know that this is something that is very special and dear to me. And I want to give it to you as best as I can in the hopes of trying to support this effort and just this synergy that we're all coming together to do this, you know, for the love of it. But I do hope that other artists are very successful. I do hope that there's a lot of support that comes within just financially helping artists out in this time. Since, I mean, the statistics are out there and how many artists are affected by this pandemic and how many have relied on these sources of income and now they're taking a big loss. So just to listeners who may be listening, I think that it's really something to just put out there as a nice word to think about how you might be supportive to artists. And maybe it's not always buying artwork, but maybe it's also just making time to have some sort of conversation. I think now is a good time for a conversation as well.
You can find redcloudart.show is where you can find more information about the Red Cloud Indian Art Show. It opens on June 6th at the Heritage Center in Pine Ridge. What will you? What kind of work will you have there?
I have a few little smaller pieces, and I've actually just kind of have fun. I always look forward to that venue because it's in my homeland. It's here on my Oglala Oyate, you know, on our land. So I know a lot of the people who would come to it normally might not engage with art in a different gallery context, but here they come into it and they might see representation of themselves or something that might make them think a little bit differently as far as how do they view art and how do they start to attempt to maybe gain some sort of ownership over their art and culture. So I usually include imagery that really pronounces our cultural identity, but then also contemporary reflection. And I also like to talk about, you know, what's happening currently as well, too. So I actually have a portrait. It's called the Banished Portrait. And you'll find that there as well, too.
You can find Keith Braveheart's art online as well at keithbraveheart.com. He's just one of my favorite artists, Keith, to talk to, and the work that you're doing. And one of the exciting things about living in South Dakota right now and seeing that the work you do and so with so many other artists is just the influence that you have as well. And it's really, it's an honor to watch that unfold and sort of see that spread as well. Every time we talk to you, it's a delight. Keith, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
No, thank you very much. I really appreciate all those kind words and just all the work that you guys do as well too. So thank you very much.